This is Espresso from the Angel's Wing account. First of all, hi to co-hosts and our special guest today, Thomas.
Good morning, everyone.
GM, everyone. Good morning.
Hello, hello.
So yeah, today in our episode, we have an exciting one. We have Thomas, who is prolific and multidisciplinary artist working with AI, with generative art, and we will hear all about what he's been up to and all of the various things he's been creating. And yeah, first of all, as usual, let's hear from Casper the introduction about Angel's Wing for all new listeners.
All right. Thanks, Espresso. So we're the Angel's Wing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by friends around the world who met through our beloved Meta Angels project. Espresso and Johannes are from Europe. Yun is from the US, whereas Rebel and myself, we are from Asia. We're driven by a common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's pretty much dominated by generative 10K PFP projects. We showcase the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery, or actually galleries, as a larger collection of art naturally brings a cross-pollination of viewership that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And with that, back to you, Espresso. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Casper. So yeah, as I mentioned, we have Thomas visiting today, and he's been doing art in the NFT space for over a year already, exploring many different techniques and styles, and very excited to hear more about this. So Thomas, first of all, hi, and please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi. Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. I try to explain everything as good as possible in English. Sometimes it's a little bit tough to express myself as I would like it, but I think I will make it somehow. I'm Thomas. I'm 34 years old from Austria, and I started with art. It was September 21. It was more by accident because I researched for cryptos because I had the idea to invest some money. I didn't plan to invest thousands of euros or dollars, just a small amount, a little bit to play around. And then I saw these NFTs and I saw it the first time and I had no idea what this really is. And of course, I saw this very famous pixeled works, also the CryptoPunks, and I felt like, what the fuck, these sell for millions. I could also do this. Why? I had no idea what's the idea behind it and why these projects or some of them are selling so high. And then I was really excited about it and thought, oh, let's try. Yeah, unfortunately, I had really zero ideas about art. I had no touching points with art before because I'm basically an engineer, more the technical guy, not the creative artist. And yeah, therefore, I researched a bit about art in general. I was looking for some freeware in the internet. I found then, I think it was, how is it called? Inkspace, I guess. It's some kind of freeware. Yeah, it's Inkspace, like Photoshop, just a bit easier maybe. And started to experimenting before I downloaded my first software. I used Microsoft Visio because I had it installed on my company computer back then. And I tried to create something. And the very funny and weird thing is I created something. I uploaded it on OpenSea, I think for like $10 or so. And it was a very, let's say, famous person bought it. It was another Sigma. I guess a lot of you will know him. And I was really, really excited. And therefore, I love the geometric objects a lot, the simple geometric objects. And therefore, I started to draw some works in Inkspace mainly. And I also had a little success and was able to sell them. Yeah, that was like the beginning. And then over the time, it turned to a real passion. I was like obsessed, not about the money. I just wanted to create another work and I had some ideas and wants to go to the computer and try if I'm able to bring it to a picture or to an image that looks like I have it in my mind. Because, yeah, as you can imagine, I also had no skills. I don't have had any Photoshop or other software skills regarding art or related to art. And therefore, it was very hard in the beginning because I had to learn everything from zero. And then I discovered the AI. And it looked really interesting. The AI space is changing quite fast. And back then in 21 or end, yeah, it was end of 21, I think, when I discovered the AI, it was a lot different than nowadays. Nowadays, it's way easier, in my opinion, to create awesome artworks than it was back then. Because first of all, the AI engines itself are way better today. And also you can find prompts and basically you find everything you need in the internet. But yeah, it was a chance for me. And it was so interesting because I also researched about the technology behind and all these neural networks and everything. It was a very interesting topic. And it really catched my attention that you are able to create such amazing artworks with using these informations available in the internet, basically. And therefore, I dive deeper into the AI art. I met a lot of amazing people and great friends. Some of them are also in the space I saw. Thanks for joining, by the way. And yeah, that's about it. Then for myself, I think I was very successful the last months and years is a little bit much, but I was quite successful. Of course, there were a lot of struggling and self-doubts, as I think most of the artists have nowadays, because not all of us are selling for like 5 each artwork. And therefore, yeah, it was a tough time sometimes, but overall, it was a really fun time. I invested so much time in general in Twitter and in getting better everywhere. I learned how to use Photoshop. I'm not a master, definitely not, but I think I get some real Photoshop skills over the months, yeah, not years. And lately, then suddenly I saw on Twitter an artwork of the account is called IPP Sketch. He's generative artist. And damn, I don't want to promote him, but you really have to check his profile. He's so good. Really, his works, not that they are selling for very high prices. His art is so good. And I saw one work of him. So like, okay, I don't care how this is created. I want to create something like this. I was so blown away and I had this picture in my mind day and night. And yeah, therefore I did some research as how he created it. And then, yeah, I found out about this generative artwork. And it's also very interesting, especially because I have a little technical background and I have at least some, let's say, basic programming skills. And this helped a lot for getting results or some very fast results. And over the last weeks or months, I really deep dived into it. I invested endless hours. I released some works on Object just to see how the crowd is reacting on it, to be honest. And people really seems to like it. And I enjoy it so much. It's also so much pain because you have to bug fix and everything, but it's so much fun. And really, it's hard to express, but it's really like an obsession. I can't stop and I would code day and night if I could. But unfortunately, I have also my day job. I'm a dad and I have my family, which is the most important for me without no doubts. And yeah, now today I'm here. I'm somehow the AI artist, but also generative artist. I don't know where the future exactly will lead me, but I think I have to decide somehow soon what I will do in the future. And yeah, that's, I think, a short introduction about myself, hopefully.
Yes, thank you so much. That was a great introduction and walkthrough. So yeah, a lot of things that we want to dive deeper into here. And also, as you mentioned, you've been trying out many different tools and techniques. So also very interested in hearing more about how that has been. And you mentioned how AI tools have been advancing a lot over this short time span. So why don't we start there? Because it seems, if I see correctly on your OpenSea and Linktree, a lot of the early pieces are using AI. So how was it to work with AI when you started compared to what you do now? Have you been using, for example, I remember there was this GAN plus clip technique in the early days. Were you using that, for example?
Yeah, I just also clicked in my Linktree for the case people are checking it out. There is on the very bottom the Thomas Intuitive Art Creative Journey until 2023. And then if you go to the OpenSea Polygon Collection, this was my first AI collection I released. And this was really during the bull run. I mean, it was during the time it was easy to sell pieces. Let's say like this, it sounds wrong, but I mean, there were these really crazy times back then. And the works you see there are mainly created with Night Cafe. I don't know if you know it. Most of the people in here will know it, I guess.
Yeah, heard about that.
Yeah. they are mainly created with Night Cafe. And also there was, to be honest, some were post-processed, but most of them were mainly raw outputs. And yeah, that was the start with Night Cafe. And then there were some AI color books, these Google color books. And I started mainly with Disco Diffusion. There were some books before, but I don't really use them. I think I started mainly with Disco Diffusion. It was a powerful book. You could create really cool artworks. And I also, how was this other one called? Pity. I don't know how to call it exactly. It's like PYTTI. There was also this famous book where you also could create these nice pixeled animations. And this was also a book I used a lot. Then the tweet you pinned at the space, there is, for example, this work on the right and also the two on the bottom. These were created with Disco Diffusion, or the other book was, I think it was Jax. I'm not sure. Sorry that I just forgot. Yeah. But I used it and then used the Pity book to create the init image for the Pity book and used this one to create the works. And they were also post-processed. These were my first real artworks where I put more effort in. And then nowadays with Midjourney and also all these Diffusion and Stable Diffusion, there are so incredible good books with web UIs you can use with ink painting and outpaint. It's just really amazing. And therefore, yeah, now I see it was Jax Diffusion, yes. And Disco Diffusion and the Cuban Clip, of course, was before, but then I don't use it that much. It was mainly, yeah, these two books and the Pity for post or to use the other images again. So that was basically where I started. Then, yeah, just there were a lot of improvement on Disco Diffusion. It was so much fun to use it and try it out. And today, mainly the main tools I use or I used is Midjourney and Deform Diffusion, because they are really comfortable to use and also, yeah, so powerful. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how fast and how powerful these tools have become. And I'm curious also to hear, like, have you been working with text prompts basically throughout this? Or have you also used the technique of creating one image and then feeding it to the model to create more images based on it?
You mean if I mainly use the text to image, or what do you mean? Or
yes.
Mostly, yes, I use the text. Of course, then I also use it with init and without init images. It always depends. Mainly I created an image and used it as init image again, and then have to decide, rework it and use it again as init image. There were a lot of different approaches, but yeah.
That makes sense.
But most of the time, in 90% of the time, I started with just text, because it's always dangerous to use some stock photos or I don't know. Of course, there are these free photos with free licenses, but it's always dangerous to use them because of copyright infringements. And it's really the least what I want is to damage my reputation in this space, because then you are just lost because I'm not a copycat. Therefore, I just mainly created my own init image and yeah, used it for further progression.
Yeah, and looking at a lot of these pieces, especially from that early phase, the main impression is that there's a lot of color use and the motifs vary quite a lot. There are many themes covered, but the colors are the recurring thing. So how would you describe the use of color and the motifs you select?
Yeah, back then I had a profile on, I think it was Voice. I don't know if you know this platform. You can also sell NFTs there. And there my name was, I think it's Thomas Colorful Art or just Colorful Art, something like this, because I really like colors. And to be honest, at the beginning, I just created what I like. I do it the same way today. That's maybe one of the problems I have, because I just like experimenting and exploring a lot of things. And back then, I like watch a film, or when I was out, there were just random situations in my life. And then I had something in my mind and I thought, like, let's try this out, see where it leads. So, and sometimes you have something in your mind, some, let's say, words or a prompt or I don't know what. Then you put it into the AI and you get something and it's totally bullshit and you can't use it. And sometimes you get like something you really think, oh yeah, that's in my mind. But also sometimes you get something totally different. Nothing to do with the image you had in your mind, but it's still so nice. And then you still keep exploring, try to improve it and work on it. Because if you have something you really like, it's really cool, then why not continue working on it until it's really perfect? So therefore, that's also one reason you see a lot of different works there.
Yeah, that sounds great. Like, taking the art where it kind of leads you?
Yeah. A lot of collectors say you need a consistent style. And yes, I understand this, but I also understand I see Ellie's here and Ellie has so fucking amazing artworks. And yes, he has some kind of consistent style, but for my taste, they are still different. And he also told me, why to be consistent if you like to experiment and why not? Yes. As I said, it's good when you see, for example, a work of, I don't know, Delta Source, or there are so many artists where you recognize immediately. You see the work and it's from him, or Grant Yuno, or whoever. Yes, that's good. And I also understand that this is important. But on the other hand, it's just nice to experiment and explore new territories. So therefore, my works look really different sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, I also think that's great. Like, especially when learning about the tools and getting to use them and taking that journey where it leads you that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's maybe what I forgot. I started with art 2 years ago. I'm not a very experienced artist who created art like 10 years or even longer. I understand that maybe after 5, 6, 7, or 10 years, you found or you experimented enough and found something where you can say, oh yeah, okay, that's it. That's what suits me. That's what fits to me. And that's exactly what I want to do. But I'm just not at the point at the moment. I can't say this is finally what I really want to do. Now I started now, I invested a lot in AI art. Now I discovered the generative art and it's so nice and it's so much fun. And therefore, why should I not do what I like? To be honest, yeah, I do care what people or what other people think. And I also do care what collectors think. And for me, especially my collectors who collected for me are very important to me because they are not just eat spending machines. They are humans and they also have feelings. It's important what collectors think. But in the end, I just want to do what I like and not here for the money because I'm just here to do what I love because it's a hobby for me. Unfortunately, I would really love to do it full time, but it's a hobby for me. I mean, all hobbies should make a lot of fun. That's why you do it in the end. And yeah, of course, it brings a little bit money. Maybe besides, that's a nice effect. We don't have to discuss about this. But in the end, it's a hobby and I'm doing it because I really like it. And it's a huge passion or it turned a huge passion. And therefore, I just do what I like. That's it in the end.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And when looking at your work throughout the various collections and also the various marketplaces and blockchains, notice that there's also a lot of humans and faces, especially in the early part of these collections. And that's also an intriguing topic because we've spoken about AI art many times on the show and also discussed earlier how AI tools, especially the early ones, had problems making faces in a good way. And some artists went the detour of putting masks on to avoid having weird outputs. So curious to hear how, first of all, why a dedicated collection even with faces? And what's been your experience with AI in this area?
Do you talk about the AI faces and the AI generated masks now?
Yes.
Okay. So they are a little bit different because for the AI faces, I just created a basic 3D model, a naked face. It's like this fashion puppet. Can I say it like this without anything? It's just the head. And I created this with, I don't even know, this was a free 3D software like Blender, really easy to use. It's not easy to use, but this one, it was a basic head. Therefore, it was easy. I created it and used it as init image and then just created some different outputs. I created hundreds of outputs, but I wanted to create a collection of 10 that I liked. It was this point. And also they are more abstract. They didn't look like human faces. Therefore, this face generation problem was not really a topic for me there. And also for the AI generated masks. For this, I had like this very basic few circles, I would say. And then I used this as input for the other mask. I had some topics in my head for each mask. And also they are very abstract. And I also did not have this face problem. And also for the watercolor masks, this was a collab project with Captain. And therefore, it was also not a problem. But yeah, I also tried to create like more human looking or nice looking faces. And I also remember back then there were a lot of problems and there were also tools to fix this. But this was back then. Today, you can create perfect faces. Today, you have the finger problem. And the finger problem today was the face problem back then. So therefore, yeah, there were some tools where you could fix faces, but it was way harder to create good looking faces than nowadays. But yeah, as I said, for these two or three collections, luckily I didn't have these problems because they were really abstract in general.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for walking us through that. And yeah, especially with Stable Diffusion, I think this problem has been largely
fixed. Stable Diffusion and Midjourney both. Sometimes if you really manage to, you can create almost works where you can see that it's AI, it's getting better and better. And these photorealistic outputs are looking so good. They're really good.
Yeah, I agree. And along the same line, what can you tell us about the light bulb?
Oh, yes.
Community.
Yes, that's pretty cool. This is my community project and my baby. The main idea was to get a big collection with as lot artists as possible. And the reason was to get exposure, especially for smaller artists. I created 4 or 5 light bulbs in the beginning and sold them for 1 tis, I think. And the thing is, you have to buy 1 edition of any light bulb in the collection. This means you have to invest 1 tis in any artist. Okay, in the beginning, it was mine. I profited a little bit. But after that, you have to support an artist with at least 1 tis. And in return for that, you can get part of the collection and use any light bulb you like as input image and create your own light bulb out of it. And it's always the same. You then release 10 editions, started with 5 editions for 1 tis and 5 editions for 2 tis. The collection grew a lot. It is now way bigger than expected. And I'm really blown away again. You really have to check them because they are so fucking good light bulbs. And yeah, what can I say? Project was huge. Also, a lot of people are writing me still today and said, oh, Thomas, I'm so grateful. I know now so many people just because being part of the project. And that was exactly what I wanted to, or it was exactly the aim of the project, to build like a small community. We also have our community chat and it's, yeah, as every chat, it's sometimes more active, sometimes not. But still, they are supporting each other. I try to support as good as I can. And yes, therefore, it turned out really nice. And it was a really cool project. And I'm very proud of it. So yeah, please check it out. You don't have to. That's not a shilling now. Just you really have. There are so many beautiful variations. They are so different. There were not only AI artists involved. There were traditional artists. There is even one light bulb that was created with a real physical light bulb. It was from Monica. She painted the light bulb with colors, made a photo, uploaded it, and we put it into the collection. So therefore, yeah, it's really worth to have a look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there are over 100 different ones, right?
Yes, it's huge now. Yeah.
It's so great. And I was also curious to hear how you mainly interact with all the people in the community. Like, is it Twitter the main channel?
Yes, 99% is Twitter, I guess. I also have an Insta account, but all the interactions I get there is like people who want to scare me. So therefore, yeah, I mean, it's really Twitter. Yes. I don't say I'm happy about it. And I really would love to have another platform because I hate Twitter. But yeah, unfortunately, it is the biggest platform and it's the best way to interact with people and also to find collectors because in the end, you also want to find collectors. And yeah, I don't like Twitter, yes, but I also found a lot of good friends. I'm in a lot of cool groups. I'm part of the AIIA movement. I don't know if you heard of it. It's a great movement with amazing artists. There is so much talent. It's a great movement and a great group and a lot to come, definitely. And therefore, I'm just thankful because, yeah, I met a lot of great people. And of course, they are not real life friends, but I really like them and I also want to support them. For example, if they would ask for money, I would give it to them to help them because they are just friends and I know I trust them and I know I would get it back. Just as example, I don't know how to explain it or express it better, but I think you know what I tried to say. So yeah, therefore it's also nice and
absolutely.
I really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're right. Twitter seems to be kind of main channel for everything digital art and NFTs. And I think also very easy to agree on how close you become friends with people you meet online. Like the Angel Swing is an example of meeting through the Meta Angels project. And now chatting every day and running meeting spaces and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we are basically buying art from each other all the time. So the ether is circling around in our Discord.
Yeah. So guess is feeding or guess is consuming all the ether in the end. Yeah, but it's nice. And also, that's a good point, Johannes. I think Johannes said it. It's also so much fun. Of course, you get a lot of support from your friends, but it's also nice to support them back. And I don't say support is only buying artworks from them, but also just interact or give them some retweets. Or I mean, my account, I have 11K followers. It's not that much, but more than someone with like 1K or 3K. And therefore, also people message me if I can help them. And also, it was last week, a guy from India or Indonesia, I think it was India, messaged me. And normally I didn't answer, but I had, I don't know, normally when we are not friends and we never interacted before, I barely answer because I can't answer to all these messages. And most of them are just scam. But yeah, he asked nicely and he just seems like a nice guy. He didn't directly shill. He just asked for help and support. Because he had some problems setting up the wallet and everything. And he just started in the space and he thought like, yeah, I'm setting my first artworks for like one ETH now. And I said, okay, you can do that, but your art can be the best in the world. You will never sell it for one ETH in the beginning when you have like 1K followers or less. And then we had a little chat and I said, look, listed on object. There are no fees because he also had no ETH to pay the fees. I said, come on, set up a wallet. I send you a few. Then you can mint all your artworks because it's basically free. You just need some tests to set up the account and everything and a collection. And then he did it. I told him how to, or some pricing ideas and some additional pricing related stuff. And yeah, he took the advice and then, yeah, okay. I also bought some artworks from him because it's just a nice feeling and it's good for the start to really push him. And he was like, and he was blown away. And that's perfect. That's nice. And I really like doing things like this and also help people because I also got a lot of help in the beginning. So therefore support your supporters. And yeah, for me, it's important to support. Yes, if this makes sense.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, that's great. That's so good to hear. Such a good attitude. And yeah, I think also, like you mentioned, there's a lot of kind of technical hurdles, especially to get started.
Yes, in the beginning.
Yeah. And since you mentioned object, I see you have been minting on many different marketplaces and blockchains. Have you made up an opinion about where you prefer to mint these days?
Yeah, that's true. And to be honest, I would like, if I could, I would change it. The beginning was definitely OpenSea for me with Polygon because I just didn't know it better. It was okay. But when I should start again, I think I would go directly for Object and Tezos because I just think it's a little bit better. But yeah, it worked well for me and everything was good. Therefore, my genesis on Ethereum was also on OpenSea because it was most famous platform for me back then. And it's still one of the most famous platforms. Nowadays, OpenSea is for me like that. I completely avoid to list on OpenSea just because I don't agree with their policies. Yes, I just listed an open edition there because it was an interactive NFT. Manifold had some problems. I still don't know exactly what the problem was. Therefore, it worked on OpenSea and I listed it there. But this was the first for a while and will be also the last for the future. I tried then the voice art collection. I mean, they made some promotions and I was there because you can also list there or buy dollars. You don't need to create a wallet. Then, yeah, there was Solana. Then there was Maker's Place because it was back then a really exclusive platform because you had to apply and it was like the small super rare. They accepted me and it was also nice. Then Object for obvious reasons. Object is just great. Known Origin also because it's great. And Foundation was also back then just great because it was also back then it was not opened and you also had to apply and it was cool when you get accepted. But I'm on way too much different marketplaces, in my opinion. Today, I prefer just mint on my own smart contract because I just think it's the best way to do it. Therefore, I really prefer Manifold in general. Also, Manifold has great apps. They have a gallery. You can set up additions, The burn redeem function is great. You can do so many cool things there. And yeah, you can set up options. The package they offer now is the best for me at the moment in the space. Therefore, I minted my last artworks there on Ethereum. Also, I have to say Known Origin is still cool because they also launched now that you can list their pieces minted on your own smart contract, but I'm not 100% sure. And I also had a lot of success there because of Claire Silver. Yeah, she bought the piece there and brought me some hype. Therefore, I had some nice success there. And then, yeah, other thing now is Ethereum Ninja, because it's also, at least you have the feeling it's a more exclusive platform because you also have to apply. But it's like back then with Foundation and Maker's Place, everything, it's the same basically, I guess. And then, yeah, I mean, for me nowadays, just to sum it up, Manifold for Ethereum, maybe Ninja. I don't know yet if I will list another work there. I had my Genesis and it sold and I'm glad. And then Object for just, how should I say, for my generative works, because I started, it's easier when you have to start small again. The thing is, I sold artworks on Ethereum up to 0.57 ETH. And when I start now again with generative artworks, I have to start at the bottom again because it's something completely different. I really like Tezos because you can buy there almost without fees. And for me, it does not make sense to sell something for $1 if you pay $4 fees. So therefore, Object is nice. It costs $1 and fees are like a few cents or microcents. And yeah, FX hash for generated collection. Yes. But yeah, as I said, if I could change it, I would really change it. I would change a lot. I made so many mistakes, but that's another question, another topic.
That also means, just means you explored a lot of stuff, right? So I think that's great. And I'm so happy that you're here and sharing experiences with us so that we can learn and kind of advance everyone. And Yoon, you have a question.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
I'm really happy to see your journey. I think we met in 2021 and really happy to see how you just came all along and see you found all the success that you deserve. So first of all, congratulations on minting out your first project on FXHash. I'm lucky enough to own one of your early geometric pattern pieces on objects because that was gifted to me by Espresso some time ago. And you mentioned during space that you have a love for simple geometric patterns in general. I think that this style really come across in your generative art. I really like that. And I was wondering what you plan to do in the future. I remember you mentioning that you aren't sure yet whether you would primarily focus on generative art or AI art. In theory, you could also just combine both tools because in the end, all these tools are just there to leverage creativity, in my opinion. Do you already have an idea where you want to go, like for your next project?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I really thought that someone would ask this question. I'm also a little bit afraid of this question because the answer is not easy. You said you can combine both tools. That's true for sure. There is also a big but. The thing is, the space, especially the AI space and the development of the AI is really fast. And if you want to catch up with the technology and also with the art, all the other artists in the space, it's just not enough. I use Midjourney, put in some words. Yeah, there are some cool outputs. Let's sell it for one ETH and everything is good. You have to deep dive into it and you have to focus, in my opinion, that's just my opinion. You have to focus on what you're doing, deep dive into it. And also it's just time consuming, especially for me. If I use a tool or I want to do something, I just want to do it a little bit. I want to really focus then on it. And for me, it's impossible to focus on generative art and on AI art, especially when I do something, I also want to be good at it. And both is time consuming. I work full time. Then I have my daughter and also my wife. I go for training 3 to 4 times a week. And I mainly work on my art during the night instead of sleeping. And yeah, first of all, it's not possible time-wise for me to focus on both topics. And therefore, I think I have to decide on the long run what I want to do and where I want to focus. Also, yes, I also have to think a little bit of my past collectors and also my future collectors. My best collector, I'm in good contact with him. And I also talked about him, what he is thinking about my journey, what I maybe will do or have planned to do. Somehow he's really happy that I developed, but somehow also he's not that happy because he invested in me. He made some investment and also he bought a lot of pieces for me because he likes it, but also because he maybe thinks they are worth more in the future because I'm here for the long run and I won't disappear in like a few months or a year or two, or I don't know. And therefore, if I stick to generative art now, maybe this won't happen. The next thing is I'm in some groups. I'm also in this AI movement and it's so nice. People are so nice. The groups are nice. Everything, what happens and what will happen, I'm 100% sure there will happen huge things in the future and it will be awesome. And therefore, it's tough. Can't say I will do this or that in the future. I just can't say I have not the energy and also the time to focus on both. So in my opinion, that's just from today's point of view, I have to decide what will I stick more to generative art or to the AI art in the future, because it's mandatory to be just competitive. Yes, I think that's the word.
I totally get what you're saying with starting a certain style and finding collectors who prefer this kind of style, and then you move on to something else. But I think in the end, you have to decide what you feel right for yourself, because it's just part of your artistic journey, right? And I think the people who resonate with this, they will just support you further. There's probably no right or wrong. I think it's just about following your own path and what is the right thing to do for yourself and how it helps you to express yourself artistically in the best way.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true. And that's also what I already mentioned earlier. It's still just a hobby and a hobby should just make fun. I do this because I like it and not because I have to. And therefore, yeah, in the end, I will do what suits best for me and what makes the most fun for me, because I don't have to decide like or to make a business related decision. It's just a what I like decision. Yeah, I have a tendency at the moment, but I'm still not sure. And yeah, we will see in the future.
So I can at least tell for myself, I'm totally excited to see what you will or what new projects you will build in the future in the generative art space, because I really love your work.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. So much fun. I'm already working on the next FX Hash project. And I invested already so many hours and I just have the foundation pattern that generates like a canvas with four random placed rectangles on it. But the size is different each time. And it was so much pain because it looks like nothing, but it already took me like 20 hours or so because I'm just not that experienced programmer. But still, it's still a lot of fun and I will keep going and I will get better. And the other thing is, if you get better and better in programming like JavaScript, I mean, there will be maybe also some job opportunities beside arts in the future, because if you can program like JavaScript, you can also program Python, C++ or C# or whatever. It's not like German and Chinese. They are similar and not that different. And so maybe it's also good for my future to focus on this. But yeah, that's just another side effect of all this stuff I like to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get the strong feeling also that the challenge of doing it is part of what makes it fun.
Yes, exactly. The first project I released on FX Hash last Friday was minted out in 29 minutes. And it was so funny because fucked up a setting and enabled the meeting only for myself. And after the project was released and 2 minutes later, I had 5 messages. What the fuck is wrong? I can't meet Thomas. Is this my problem? I want to meet before it's meted out. And I was like, what? Okay. And yeah, I forgot to make a tick for a setting and therefore only myself was able to mint. I couldn't believe that it was minted out in 29 minutes. And it was this feeling again, not because of the money, because the money I get from this project is nothing compared to the time and hours I invested. But in the end, the reward that it's minted out in 29 minutes, it's so amazing. It's an overwhelming feeling. It was totally worth all the pain the days before because there was a little bug fixing. And I'm glad I had support from the FX Hash Discord because I wouldn't be able to fix it by myself, I guess. In the end, it was just a small problem, but hard to figure out yourself. And now, yeah, I'm working on my next project. I had this idea. It's not completely done or thought through, if I can say it like this, but I had an idea to build the foundation. I drawed it on a paper first and made some sketches, and it was so nice. I really enjoyed doing these sketches on paper and then have a rough idea, start coding, see how it interacts and then fix all the problems. And now I have this canvas with these four random squares were placed there in different sizes. They should not touch each other. And it's not that easy as it sounds to create. And if this works in the end, it's just nice. It's such a great reward you get already when you see that it works and you can continue with the development. And yeah, I'm really excited for the second project, and I think I will work on this for endless hours, but it's just fun and I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also amazing, as you mentioned, it sold out quickly, and that's a great success, especially for first FX House drop. So congrats on that. And let's go to Johannes for a question.
Yeah, first of all, I'm amazed that you are. I'm in a very similar situation, coming from Germany, having a family, having kids. I have to bring them to the kindergarten and have a day job too. And then I hear that you still have time and energy to produce awesome art. So I have a very private question to you. How much hours per week are you able to reserve for this? Because usually at the evening, I'm just tired. So first of all, how much hours? Because you told several times that you spent a lot of time into this. And the second question, where's your source of energy?
Yeah, that's a good question. The hours in a week, I think on average, it's like, let me just quickly sum it up. It also depends on my workload. To be honest, when I'm at work and my workload is not too high, I also do some researches, for example, how to implement something, I don't know, or a piece of code. I check it there, and this already helps because then it can directly start at home to code. But I would say on average, like 20 hours a week, at least. This week, for example, yesterday it was from like 7 in the evening when I brought the kid to bed. Yeah, from 7 to 1, it was 6 hours. And yeah, I think like 20 hours on average are good. And then, yeah, where is my source of energy? I don't know, to be honest. I'm just highly motivated. And to be honest, I'm not the guy who needs too much sleep. I think on average, I sleep like 6 hours. If I have like six, let's call it quality hours of sleep, then I'm totally fit and fine. So this is a bit depending on the baby. But yeah, maybe this is something. And also I do CrossFit only. I go there 3 times a week. Before the baby, it was like 5 to 6 times, but I had to reduce it, obviously, because family is just number one priority. It doesn't matter what happens, if this is art or sports. And family is happy and everyone is sleeping. Sometimes also my wife is sleeping. Then I go back to the computer and work. Yeah, that's it. I have my day job. I have to work somehow in the night because I don't want to miss the time with my daughter and also not with my wife. So therefore, I mostly work when they are sleeping or I'm alone somehow. Yeah.
Thanks for this great answer. And I feel a little bit more motivated now.
You're very welcome.
But it's a baby when they are older. They can't sleep anymore. And you're still trying to bring him to the bed at 10 o'clock. How old? 6 months?
16. It's not really a baby.
16.
But small kid. I don't know. Small kid baby. It's
16 months or years?
Months. So 1 year, 4 months.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I can tell you one thing later on. They are always telling you that they can't sleep.
Yeah, we will see how it will continue.
Enjoy your time.
Yeah, thanks. Yes.
Yeah, it's very inspiring to hear. This means you have been doing art as long as you've had the kid, right?
Yeah, a little bit before she was born on the first, last year, September. No, around 1 year. Before the kid was born, I started with art. Yeah. And now, yeah.
That's amazing. And also wanted also to make sure we cover your Mirage Gallery drop.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big achievement and big congrats on that. So why don't you tell us a bit about how was that getting accepted and everything?
Yeah. The Mirage Gallery drop was definitely my biggest achievement so far. It was feeling wise. To be honest, yeah, I also have to say money-wise, but the feeling and also all the people. Also, I met you there, to be honest. We know each other because of the Mirage Gallery drop, basically.
Yes, correct.
And through the drop, I met a lot of amazing people I am still in contact with. The Mirage Gallery in general is amazing. I was so excited when I got accepted. It was like I applied, I don't know, 1.5 years or a year ago. And yeah, then I just saw somehow a tweet of the Mirage Gallery on Twitter. And I thought like, yeah, let's try to message them because they also bought a piece of me on Known Origin. And therefore I thought like, yeah, let's try. Maybe you get a response. And then, yeah, I wrote him and he replied me, yes, he just looked through some applications and he just saw mine. And it was really by accident. It was a perfect match. And he said like, yeah, I mean, in general, it's nice, but do you have some more updated works you could provide for a drop? And I said, yeah, of course, I can provide you. And I was already really excited. And then I sent him, I think, 10 artworks or so. And he said, like, oh, that's amazing. You're in. And I was like, oh, I can't believe it. Fuck, yes. And it was like, when was my drop? On December. Yeah, exactly. And it was 3 weeks before the drop, I guess. We were in contact. And he said, it's possible on January or February, but I'm not sure. I think he said these 2 dates. And because December was full, I said it's totally fine because December is a busy month and everything is good. So therefore, I'm totally fine. He just should let me know when I can have the drop date. And then he said, yeah, okay, December is now the artist on December is not able to provide the collection and December would be free. And I was like, what should I do now? I had some holidays, but it was Christmas and we traveled to Croatia to the family of my wife. But I was like, fuck, let's do it. And I worked day and night. It was so much effort and I almost fell off the chair sometimes. But in the end, it was just worth it. I had then these 150 works. I have to say I'm proud of every work. There is not one work I say like, I just submitted it that I had the 150 works full because I had like way more works and a lot of works didn't make it to the final. And therefore, first of all, I'm very proud. I'm very glad that it sold out, not as quick as like Rens or Haze dropped, but it's still totally fine. They are awesome artists and I'm honored to be beside this artist. Also Claire had a drop there, so it's huge. And also the Mirage community, I include you also to this community. And August is just a great guy. And also the Discord is pretty nice. So mainly I'm very proud that I made it in the short time frame I had to provide all these 150 works. I'm very proud that it sold out. And I'm so glad because I met some amazing people. And yeah, I think it also helped me for my, how should I say, my reputation, but also some reach. I think maybe I got a little more known in the space than before. So it's also a nice side effect there, yes.
Yeah, and yeah, as you mentioned, August at Mirage is a great guy. And we've had him on the show before as well, talking about Mirage and support all of the great things they do. And yeah, looking at your collection, it's beautiful. There's a wide range of topics, again, covered, like everything from nature to cityscapes to more ancient ruins and serene places. And yeah, so much glitter.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
So yeah, and again, this good sense of color and how to use color to get a great effect. Recommend everyone to check out the collection.
Thanks. Yeah, everything is in my link tree, so it's easy to find.
Yes, that's great. And I think with that, we're getting close to the end. Anything in particular you'd like to add that we haven't covered?
Not really. I just wanted to thank every one of you to have me on the show. It's really nice for me. It's also a little bit challenge for me because yes, the English is some kind of okay-ish, but it's not always easy to express myself in English. I also want to greet some friends because there are a lot of good friends in here. And yeah, I don't want to promote something, but still, if you like AI art, follow the IIA movement and the artists of them, especially because it's mind-blowing, the art. You will see there is everything, every style. There are animations, there are non-animations. If you stick to AI art, really, you can follow them and you won't regret it. I just can recommend it.
Yeah, yes, this is great. Thank you so much for coming on our show and telling the story. And don't worry about English skills. That was really great. It worked out really well.
Yeah. Also, I'm a very chatty guy in general. And if you want to know more or also if someone needs advice, I really made a lot of mistakes on my journey. I think it's totally normal and I'm not in shame. I'm totally open to this. And I also talk to this. And if someone wants to know more or how to avoid these, just send me a DM and we can talk about it. So yeah, just to sum it up.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, that's all we had this week. Thanks everyone for listening and have a great evening.
Thanks guys. Have a great evening. Ciao.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much.